Welcome to the Econopack Food Packaging Podcast. Today, we're talking with Ed Horn, our COO. We talk about Ed's experience at Econopack, how the co-packing industry has changed, and why the request a quote form is so important. Let's get into the show. Thanks for joining us, Ed.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Cool. So how long have you worked at Econopack?
I've started working at Econopack in August of 2007, so this year will be going on 17 great years.
Awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what does a COO do every day?
Well, ultimately, my job is to try to make our job and our lives as efficient as possible. So it comes down to office staff. It comes down to the floor, you know, picking the right equipment for the right jobs and making sure those people are on there. And also making sure that those people and those pieces of equipment actually work well for our clients and the pricing models we put together for them.
Mm. Yeah, that's incredible. You said 17 years. So you've obviously seen the company transition over 17 years. It's changed.
It's been amazing. It has changed a tremendous amount. Initially our facility was much smaller than the current one.
You know?
So every year you see huge expansions going on, trainings, it's just the amount of people. It's just been really amazing.
Mm. Yeah, that's great.
So I know we have a really great culture, not only in the front office, but also in production as well. What do you do to help foster that?
Well, again, it's ultimately like the people out on the floor are the backbone of the company. You know, we all have a good time, but it's really, being positive with those people. You know, smiles are contagious, and it goes along with everything. And, just making sure our people are happy, that they understand what we expect of them. Mm-hmm. And promoting that and having them promote that to other people. Mm-hmm. We don't like to tolerate any bad eggs.
Yeah. So, you know, in your time here, you've seen quite a few people go from working on the line to, you know, for example, Patrick being plant manager. Is that part of what you were talking about?
Absolutely, yes. We absolutely try to promote within when we can. You know, this day and age, there are other, you know, there are other positions that need to be filled that we may not have in-house. And that's when we go out of house. But the majority, I wouldn't say the majority, but a lot of the people we have are homegrown. So they understand everything from the bottom to the top and really helps us as a company do the best we can for our clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You see it, like you said, smiles are contagious when you walk around. People are motivated by that. They like when they're recognized for doing a good job.
They're happy to be here.
You know, a cookie dropper, just somebody that works on one of the lines, to even the people in the front office. Like, everybody plays a really important role to our success. And a lot of that's driven by a culture from your executives in the company.
100%.
And we had a conversation with PJ about the future of co-packing. But I'd like to hear, in your 17 years here, what have you seen change in the industry?
Well, quality is one of the bigger portions of what I see has changed. So adapting to those new requirements, you know, there was no such thing as SQF when I started. It was, you know, we had audits, we had internal audits, we had things of that nature. But then, you know, moving on to like SQF level 1 through 3, we're obviously 3, or we are 3. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we took that upon ourselves to go that extra mile to make it even better. You know, food safety is number one for us. Mm-hmm. But looking at quality and the people, you know, we had a much smaller staff back then. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, 45 plus staff and quality, mm-hmm. Different levels and layers within that quality department. And also, you know, just the certifications required. So it's pretty amazing how far that has come, but that's one. The other one is equipment. You know, back in the day, and I say back in the day, it's 17 years ago, the equipment was very antiquated. You know, we've come so far with automation. You know, just being able to produce things faster, but still maintain that high level of quality for our clients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You can tell the investment with the company put into quality and the equipment. It's always part of the conversation from the top.
It absolutely is.
You know, it's the priority. It's the backbone of the company. Like you said, the people are the backbone of the company and very important, but making sure that we're staying on top of quality, continuing to invest in that and invest in the equipment.
Yeah, giving the people the tools to be successful is key.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of transitions into our next part of the conversation, which is our request for quote form. But I want to ask you, has our internal processes changed?
They absolutely have. I mean, we everything is documented now, so it's much easier. So we have historical data. So just documentation in general, you know, anybody can walk in the door and can look at what our processes and procedures are, mm-hmm. and kind of have a great idea to be able to just get going and without delay.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a great point. Seeing how everything is, you know, digitized too, and it's easily accessible for all of our team members that are involved. Because a client doesn't just work with one person in our organization; they work with multiple people in different departments through the customer journey. Mm-hmm. So when you are being onboarded into Econopac, you're working with your sales and your marketing team to come in and establish who you are, and then those processes go into each of the different areas of the company, from quality, project management, production, logistics, all those different areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see it as a chess game. Be like, be very strategic, be three steps ahead. Mm-hmm. You know, it really comes down to that for me, mm-hmm. in making things efficient. Yeah. Because things do happen, things do change, and the ability to make the decisions on the fly makes us fantastic for our clients. Mm-hmm. So we can adapt and make things happen.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So getting into the request a quote form, can you talk about why that's crucial for us?
So it ultimately comes down to getting the right information the first time. Again, we're busy. We know you're busy. You want to get your quote. We want to make it as streamlined as possible for you. So looking at that quote, understanding what it is, really helps us dial in that process and quote it correctly the first time. So if you're on a tight timeline, you give us the correct information the first time, mm-hmm. we can get you the correct quote the first time and put that out. So that way you guys, you know, you could run it through your financials and make sure everything works. And otherwise, if it is too fast and we get it to you, and maybe something doesn't make sense, you can always bring it back to us. We could look at it. If you don't understand something, mm-hmm. we can always talk you through that. That's what we're here for. But getting that information correct the first time really is essential for making the quote as spot on as possible for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of our big marketing initiatives this year, and Sarah's done a great job, is trying to build an easily accessible process within our website. So our new website has multiple areas for request a quote. And, you know, you've been a big help in helping us dial in the specific questions that our customers need to answer in order for us to create a successful customer journey for them. So with that, right, we're asking kind of, you know, why are those questions so important? Mm-hmm. So we have like the type of product is one, you know, understanding what that is, because we work with a lot of different things.
So. Correct. All products flow completely differently. So, you know, you have a gummy, some are sanded, some are oiled. They all flow differently, all require different types of equipment. Yeah. All those pieces of equipment run at different speeds. So having that information, just as small as an oiled gummy compared to a sanded gummy, mm-hmm. is crucial. Yeah. It really is.
Absolutely. And even understanding too, like, what is the type of product that they're working with? Maybe it's something that we don't specialize in here because we're a dry food packaging company. So that helps us kind of, you know, understand that we're not the best fit for that client. Like you said, their time is precious like ours.
Yes.
We can vet that very early on in the conversation, but that doesn't mean that we can't help them.
Because, correct.
You know, you have a tremendous amount of exposure to a lot of different companies out there that do what we do in a sense and in different capacities, and you can help guide them there too.
Absolutely. Rarely will you ever hear us say, no, we can't help you. If we can help you, even if that's passing you on to one of our other suppliers or vendors we've worked with in the past, we're always glad to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
So another question on our form is related to volume. We get quite a few forms in that we look at and we're like, oh, maybe, you know, we can work with that. We have to look at it. Or, you know, oh, that's a great volume. We could definitely do that. Can you talk about why volume is important for us?
So volume is key. You know, again, it comes down to the equipment required for that particular job. And also that, you know, having that volume, just that metric of volume being... Whether is it, you know, we need to know if your volume is a piece. We need to know if it's several pieces into a carton. We need to know if it's several cartons into a shipper, or if it's several of these pieces into a shipper. Like, depending on what that actual breakdown or what that format is, it's always key to describe as best you possibly can on what your end sale unit's going to be, you know, or how it will be shipped to the retailer. So volume, say on small items, we may not be using the highest speed line. So your price could be slightly higher. Mm-hmm. If it's very high volume, then we're going to put it on a piece of equipment that we know that needs to run, you know, 24/7, 6 days a week to make sure we hit your volumes.
Yeah. Yeah. So those metrics all play a key role in us deciding, you know, how we work with your product. Is it a good fit? Are we going to use, you know, high speed servo driven automated equipment, or are we going to have a line set up where it's more manual? We have people, correct, you know, loading those packages and building those things. So volume is always a key factor in looking at that. And it doesn't mean that we can't help you when you have a smaller volume. It's just how we're going to be able to work with you.
Correct.
So some of the other questions on the form are about our allergen management or our certification. So how does that relate to us?
So that relates to, when you go to our website will indicate all of the certifications we currently have. But you may have something completely different. We're not opposed to going out and getting that certification. We're all about increasing certifications and trying to blanket everything we possibly can. So some products require different types of testing. It could be burst testing. It could be metal detection, X-ray. So having all those on that RFQ, you know, listing all those items you need are very key, because again, we want to make sure that we have the capacity. We have enough of that type of equipment, depending on what our current run schedule is. So letting us know those things, because there are different processes in place that actually allow us to better quote you due to those other attributes for your project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think a lot of people would be surprised by the fact that when they fill out our RFQ form, it's not like it just goes to one person and that person just kind of looks at it quickly and decides, hey, we can go to the next level. It goes through a stage of people within the company. So you mentioned quality. It obviously has to touch the desk of quality, right?
Absolutely.
It has to go through operations. It goes through our project management to make sure. It also goes through our maintenance department. Do we have the right type of equipment to run that project? And do we have open capacity? You know, all those different areas are key factors. So, and the fact that we can turn around these quotes within 48 hours and it went through five different departments to be able to come up with that, mm-hmm, I think is one of our huge success points.
Correct. And shipping and receiving is key as well. You know, live loads, drop containers. We do a drop and hook program. So knowing how much space is going to be utilized with your product or your project is key as well. You know, we need to know what we're bringing in and what we expect to send out each week. So for us to be efficient, we need to know those key items.
Mm-hmm. And on our form, we include an option to add pictures of your product and the packaging as well. So why should people include photos?
I would say for individuals that are starting new projects and things like that, providing a picture will give us all the insight we need. If it's something like that, they don't have to spell out what that is for us. We're experts. We'll look at that picture and we'll say, okay, they're looking for a pillow pouch. Oh, they're looking for a stand-up or a doy-style pouch. That's key, especially if, you know, so many different companies use different terminologies. So pictures, they're worth a thousand words, you know?
Mm. All right, cool. So after we get the form and we send the quote, what happens next for the client?
So once we send the form, we send the quote. Mm-hmm. Again, it's always open for discussion. If the client has questions or anything related to that quote, if something doesn't look right, you know, it's always feel free to call us and ask us questions. What we do on those quotes, though, is we put production steps on the bottom, which, again, we spell it out for the client. Hey, this is what we took from your SOP3, and we put production steps in place. Do you agree with these production steps? Is there something within these production steps that we actually missed? If so, please let us know, and we'll add that to it. Because at that point, when the quote's done and the project is accepted, we create a work instructions, which is just distributed throughout all of our teams. So anybody that's new on a line, or even our seasoned line leaders, quality techs, they all get this paper. They all understand exactly what the client expects and in which order they expect it done. Mm. So it's very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think One of my favorite things is when a customer comes back. You obviously you win the quote, you win the you win the job, you put together the work instructions, and they come back and they have those questions about like, well, what does this mean and what does that mean? It's like that we get to educate them too. It's not about just keeping all that information for ourselves and like just running it, and they're not aware of how their project is running. It's making them a part of it. You know, just because they come and they work with Econopac doesn't mean that they're no longer a part of the process.
Absolutely.
In fact, they play a bigger role in the process because they become, you know, this person that we can, you know, teach how we're doing it, why we're doing certain things the way we're doing it, and how we can make that more successful. I've noticed from working with you this past year, another great thing that we do is provide a cost savings review. So, you know, you're always analyzing the numbers, like how are we performing? How is each product performing and every line performing? But I know that you make a lot of notes and request those meetings with clients at the end of each year. Or, you know, we do some quarterly too and talk about, hey, we feel like if you were to send your product in this way, we can create some efficiencies that create a cost savings. So it's about that partnership.
It absolutely is. You know, we work with so many, And a lot of the times with a startup or if it's a new project, you know, sometimes you're kind of stuck in what it is at that, in that time, because there's a crunch time, there's a launch period, there's an ATO, you want to get product to market in a certain period of time. So you may be stuck with that, but you know, with everybody else that we work with, we could take those efficiencies and easily just, you know, hey guys, is it possible for your baker to send it to us like that? You could save, you know, again, you know, we're trying to be cognizant of waste to landfill, you know? So, you know, everybody's, you know, working on these initiatives to reduce waste, not only save the environment, but save you money at the same time.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what is Ed like outside of Econopac?
Ed's just, you know, as fun outside of work as he is inside of work. You know, I'm very in tune with family. You know, I have younger sons. They have hobbies and cars and hunting and fishing and camping and racing. So I enjoyed building cars. That's ultimately, that's what I did.
Ed, it was so great to have you, you know, sit down with us today and go over the process, and, you know, hear it from you directly. Appreciate your time. We would definitely love to have you back for future episodes. We want to continue this conversation and make this podcast an educational environment. We want people to learn about who Econopac is and, you know, why we provide the services we do and the things that are happening here. But also, there's a lot of things happening in the industry that we want to talk about as well. So we'd love to have you back and be a part of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be great. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks.